You know, here at Trinity, we take God's word seriously, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. We believe that you can have fun and learn and grow in your relationship with Christ. And today's going to be a fun message. Today, it's going to be a challenging message, because today we want to talk to every man in here, every young man in here, every young man that will grow up and according to God's plan for your life will become a husband. And then the responsibility of all responsibilities to become a father. And to reach that particular stage in your life where you have a child that looks up at you and calls you dad. Wow, what does that mean? You know, it's been said before that you're a male by birth, but you're a man by choice. And what does it mean to be a man, to be a real man, not some metro man, not some cosmopolitan man, but a real man as is described in Scripture, a real man that is seen in the life of Jesus, that's personified in the life of Jesus. That yes, you could be a man and not be a father. Yes, you could be a man and not be a husband, because Jesus was single. He was never married, never became an earthly father. And yet, he's the example of all time for all men, what it means to be a man. And we're going to talk about fighting. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says this. This is the Apostle Paul. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Let's read that out loud together. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Let's pray. God, thank you for this spiritual moment that will occur in the hearts and lives of every single person that's here in this church today and that's listening or watching on the internet. Thank you, Lord, that your word will have an impact in all of our hearts, that all of us will be challenged, God, to fight the good fight of faith, to finish the race, and to keep the faith. I pray and ask your blessing now upon this message, that it would reach every heart in here today, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You know, the Apostle Paul intrigues me. 33 years ago when I first started reading the Bible, I was blown away at the metaphors that he used that he would apply to our spiritual walk with Christ. He would talk about boxing. He would talk about wrestling. He would talk about warfare. He would talk about the weapons of our warfare not being carnal. And I looked, and as I read the Bible, and I read particularly the writings of the Apostle Paul, I realized something, that he used these metaphors to remind all Christ's followers that Christianity is not about being on a playground, but it really is a battleground. That being a Christ follower, you're in a spiritual conflict that has been raging now for thousands of years. It was a cosmic battle that started in the heavens when an angel by the name of Lucifer rebelled against God and deceived one-third of the angels, and they rebelled against God and tried to dethrone God, and God kicked him out of heaven. Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning to the earth when he was cast down to this earth. And by the time Adam and Eve are created by God and they're in the garden, we know that Satan is already there in the form of a serpent. And he's ever trying to beguile and deceive mankind. It started there in the garden when he deceived Eve. And then Jesus tells us something about our arch enemy and God's arch enemy, the devil. He's real. It's very clear in Scripture that he's real. Jesus affirmed that he is real. And Jesus said this in John 10:10, the thief, the devil, comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. In other words, Jesus is telling us that Satan plays for keeps. He has a take-no-prisoners attitude. He's the avowed enemy of God and God's people. And isn't it interesting, in the Bible, Satan himself is compared to a serpent, to a dragon, and to a lion. And that's why, by the way, it's unscriptural to own a cat, because the devil's like a lion. Anyway, I made that one up, don't believe it. Paul was a gladiator for Jesus. The Apostle Paul, on many occasions, he was jailed. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was left for dead on many occasions. And yet, each time, he'd get back up, not in his own strength, but in the strength provided to him by God. He'd get back up, he would dust himself off, and he would go into the next city, continuing to proclaim Christ to his generation. Here's how the Apostle Paul said it in the book of Romans. I love his wording, his terminology. Romans 8, beginning of verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But it doesn't stop there. Look at verse 37. Yet in all these things, everybody say things. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hey, it's cool to be a conqueror. But the Bible says you're not just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror through him who loved us. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor, what's that next word? Things. There's that word again. Nor things present, nor, what's that next word? Things to come. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created, say it with me, thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I don't know what your thing is in life, but we all have a thing. Some of us have more than one thing. We have things that are coming against us. Your thing that is eating at you is worry or doubt or fear or depression or persecution. We all have a thing. And Paul said, it doesn't matter what those things are that come against us. We are more than conquerors, and nothing can stop us, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. So I have three challenges for every man in here. Three points that I want to share with you in this message. And the first is fight. And then we're going to look at finish. And then we're going to look at keep the faith. So let's look at the first one. Fight. Everybody say fight. You know, growing up, if you had a dispute with somebody, you know how kids are cool, man. They're awesome. You know how kids settle a dispute? They might play rock, paper, scissors. And the winner takes all, right? They might have a staring contest with one another, right? Whoever blinks first loses, right? They may even go as far as having an arm wrestling contest, right? And then as you get older, you know, disputes begin to be settled in different ways. I mean, for those of us that are married, guys, it's real easy. We all know, us married men, we all know how to settle a dispute with our wives. Four words that God gives every man. Yes, dear, you're right. That's it. Problem solved. You get to stay in your bed and not on the couch. It's real simple. You know, it really doesn't matter how often a married man changes a job. Because, you know, he always has the same boss, right? Yeah, always has the same boss. Hey, did you know, you like that one? Okay. You know, they call our language the mother tongue. You know why they call our language the mother tongue? Because fathers seldom get to use theirs. All right, so I'm going to get in a fight here. So the Apostle Paul said we're to fight. Now, I want to make sure that I understood what Paul was saying when he used the word fight. So I looked it up in the original word, the original Greek word where we get this word fight in our English Bibles. It's an interesting Greek word. It's spelled A-G-O-N-I-Z-O-M-A-I. And it's agonizome. And here's what this word literally means. This word literally means to compete for a prize. See, just like fighters get in a ring to compete for a prize, we are to fight the good fight of faith because we're competing for a prize. It's a spiritual prize. This word means to contend with an adversary. Matter of fact, here's what's interesting. From that Greek word, we get our word agonize. When Paul said fight the good fight of faith, he's saying you're going to have to agonize. You know, so, hey, don't philosophize. Agonize so you won't be eulogized. You like that? I made that up myself. I thought it would have a greater impact. I mean, that's cool. You know, so many people want to analyze life. There are times you need to get in the ring of life and you need to not analyze, you need to agonize if you're going to obtain the prize. You see, everything that God has for us, Christ has purchased it. He's paid the price for it, but we have to take it. We have to go after it. We have to lay claim to it. We've got to be willing to fight the good fight of faith. You know, actually fighting between two combatants is an age-old means of establishing dominance. In an ancient Mesopotamian poem, the epic Gilgamesh, Gilgamesh established his leadership by wrestling Enkidu. This is ancient history, ancient writings. In Greek mythology, Zeus rises to rule the earth by beating down his father Cronus in a blockbuster battle. From China to Greece to Egypt, the ancient world enjoyed competitive, combative sports. Matter of fact, the Greeks originally wrestled naked. We'll leave it at that. And even before Babylon swept Jerusalem into captivity, you know, boxing was already a celebrated Olympic sport in the 7th century B.C. And in the modern sports as entertainment era, boxing has become a multi-billion dollar industry in our world today. Asian cultures have mixed in martial art elements to create kickboxing, professional sports, as you had a demonstration here in church today. And then there is the UFC, MMA, Mixed Martial Arts Professional Fighting, which a form of fighting that combines martial arts, throws and blows with grappling and floor fighting and submission wrestling, bouts that take place in an octagon cage. You see, Paul was a fighter, so he used this terminology in many of his writings. He said that he doesn't box the air, that he's determined in his faith. He said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. He talked about running the race to win. Time and time again, he spoke about fighting. He spoke about warriors being in a war and that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God. Once again, in 1 Timothy 6:12, look at what else he had to say about this concept of fighting. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He's telling the young protege. He's the mentor to the mentoree. And Paul is saying to young Timothy, he's saying, listen, son Timothy, I love you, but it's going to be a fight. You want to be everything that God's called you to be? It's going to be a fight. You want to lay hold of eternal life? It's going to be a fight. You're going to have to agonize, right? You see, nothing comes easy in life. The good things that God has for us, we're going to have to fight the good fight in order to obtain them and in order to keep them. And the reason the Bible calls it a good fight is because it's a fight you could win, not in your own strength, but in God's strength. But listen, if we're going to fight the good fight, we're going to have to first learn how to fight, right? Now, they say there are two types of people in the world, lovers and fighters. And when I was a little kid, I heard that. And when I was a little kid and I heard that, I said, I want to be the former and not the latter. I grew up wanting to be a lover and not a fighter. But you see, I grew up in Albuquerque, and it wasn't an option. You could be one or you could be the other. You can fight or you could die. And here's a true story. I've shared this story a few years back, and it's always embarrassing for me to share this story, but it's as though it happened yesterday. I was in the second grade, and I was riding the bus home. In the second grade, minding my own business. And two boys were on that bus, and they were bullies, and they were bullying me on that bus. And I knew that as soon as that bus stopped and that door flung open, I knew I was going to get off that bus, and I was going to run as fast as I could home. And that bus stopped, true story, gospel truth. I got off that bus, and I started running. I thank God, God gave me fast legs. You know, he either makes you a fighter or he makes you a runner. And in second grade, I ran home as fast as I could. I thank God at that time my mom was a stay-at-home mom. Because when I ran to the house, I pounded on that front door, and she answered that front door. Those two boys caught up with me. They stopped right at the border line of our property. And my mom opened the door, and she could tell that I was upset and frantic and out of breath. She goes, what's going on? And I said, Mom, these two guys, they want to beat me up. And she looked at them, and she said, gospel truth, I'm not making this up. She said, go fight him. I'm like, what? Are you my mom or some alien that abducted my mom? I mean, what? This? Go fight him. I mean, there's two of them and one of me. Let's just start right there, Mom. You know, this doesn't make any sense. I said, I don't want to fight him. This is gospel. I said, I don't want to fight him. She said these words. I will never forget them. Are you a man or a mouse? And I said, I'm a mouse, let me in the house. Okay? You know, discretion's the better part of valor, they say. And she blocked the door, she wouldn't let me in. She said, you're gonna fight him. So she took us to the backyard. I mean, she should have been arrested for that. You know what I'm talking about? She took us to the backyard, and she laid down the rules, and she commenced to referee a fight, if you would call that a fight. I did so horrible. Shortly after that, she signed me up for karate, okay? So, true story. So, you know what? The reality is, in life, all of us have some bullies, though, don't we? You can't get through life without being bullied. And some of you right now has some bullies chasing you. Maybe it's the bully of self-doubt. Maybe it's the bully of I'm not good enough. Maybe it's the bully of self-pity. Maybe it's the bully of fear. Maybe it's the bully of regret. But we all have a bully in life that at some point in time you're going to have to face down. You see, all of us have a cage. All of us have a ring. You see, every morning when we get up and our feet hit the ground and we begin this day, we realize that we are entering into a contest of good versus evil and God versus Satan and righteous people against the unrighteous people. We understand that there is a cosmic spiritual battle, and yes, though we don't hear bombs going off and bullets whizzing over our head, it does not mean that we're not in a spiritual conflict, in a spiritual battle. We all have a cage or a ring that we find ourselves standing in. For some, it's a ring of despair or a cage of fear or doubt or addiction. For others, maybe it's a cage of some bondage to some addiction. Maybe it's to lust or to greed or to pornography. Maybe your biggest battle right now is against cancer, which is an enemy that invades your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, your body which was created by God, your body which belongs to God, and it doesn't belong to that sickness and that disease that's afflicting your body right now. And you have a fight in front of you, but it's a good fight. Maybe right now you're fighting with grief. You're battling the ring that you get up every day, every morning, and you're reminded once your eyes pop open and your mind starts working that there's this enemy that's confronting your life that is wanting to keep you down on the mat. That's the enemy of grief. You see, every married couple in here understands that if you want to have a loving, committed, intimate relationship, year after year after year after year, it doesn't come easy. You're going to have to agonize. Right? You're going to have to fight to obtain that type of loving, committed marriage relationship over decades. And you're going to have to continue to fight that good fight and not throw in the towel and not wave the white flag and not surrender. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it doesn't have to happen to you. You don't have to become a statistic. And even if you have, well, it's not over, is it? Hallelujah. It's not over because God's a God of a second chance. And you can get back up on your feet and you can say, I blew it the first time. But you know what? God's going to give me another chance. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to be smarter and I'm going to be wiser this next time. You got to agonize. Now, so listen, if you're going to fight, you got to do two things. First of all, you need to realize our fight is not with flesh and blood. I'm not talking about physical enemies that we have to contend with. I'm talking about spiritual enemies. You see, behind every physical battle, there's really a spiritual battle that is raging. And unless we go to the source, we're never really going to solve the problems in our life or in our world, for that matter. And so the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare, 2 Corinthians 10:4, once again, the Apostle Paul, the weapons of our warfare, look at his terminology. They're not carnal, they're mighty through God for the pulling down strongholds. And the second thing you need to realize, if you're going to fight, you need to learn how to fight. And that you're not fighting flesh and blood enemies. The second thing you need to understand is you can't do it in your own strength. Your own strength isn't sufficient. In your own strength, you can't beat addiction. In your own strength, you can't beat depression. In your own strength, you can't beat despair. In your own strength, you and I are no match for the world, the flesh, and the devil. But thank God we don't have to face these foes, these spiritual battles alone. Thank God that Jesus is with us and Jesus is on our side. And greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world, right? And thank God that you've got some fellow comrades. You have some brothers in arms. You have some sisters in arms. Amen. You don't go into battle alone. You go into battle with one another because we stand together as a family and as a unit. And we don't face the enemy alone. We face him together. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight, the Bible says. And the second thing that you need to do, second word I want to challenge every man in here who will one day be a husband, and who will one day, according to God's plan, be a father either by birth or adoption. And some will be called to be single, and that's great too. That's a call in and of itself. You got to fight. Number two, you got to finish. You got to finish. So when Paul said, "I've finished my race," I wanted to look up that word finish. I want to make sure I understood what the Apostle Paul meant when he used the word finish. And it's the Greek word teleo, T-E-L-O, teleo. I thought, wow, that's a cool word. What does it mean? It means to finish. It means to fulfill. And it means this, to pay a debt completely. And I thought, okay, I wonder if when Jesus hung on the cross and he said, "It is finished," I wonder if it's the same Greek word that Paul used writing to Timothy when he said, "I've finished my race." So I went to John 19:30, and I looked up the word "finish" when Jesus said, "It is finished," one of the last seven statements that came out of the mouth of Jesus. He hung on that cross. He said, "It is finished." And I looked up that Greek word, and guess what? It's the Greek word teleo. And as Jesus hung on that cross, you see, that was his octagon, fighting cage. That was his ring. He fought a battle that no human could fight and win. But he fought it as a man, but not only as a man, as God, the God-man, as not only the Son of God, but God the Son. And he stepped into the ring with the enemy. And as he hung on that cross, Satan thought he had won. Because you see, after Jesus died, Satan thought, "I won." You can read about it, you know, in Psalms like 21 and 22. And as he hung on that cross, the devil thought, "Well, I've got this." And you know what the devil did? He had round one. He had round two. But on day three, round three, Jesus rose from the dead and defeated the devil once and for all and proved to the entire universe that Satan has a glass jaw. Amen. He submitted him, and Satan had to tap out. And he, teleo, as he hung on that cross, teleo. It's finished. I've done it. I've completed it. It's over. You know, life, like in sports, you have to finish your opponent, right? You got to finish your opponent. Will the San Antonio Spurs be able to finish off the Miami Heat? It's looking good, you know, 3-1, right? Looking good. Stacy, that's not looking so good, right? And when you have your opponent on the ropes, you don't want to give him a second chance. You don't want to give him a second life. Are you with me? You got to finish. Everything in life has a beginning point. Everything in life has a finishing point, right? You start a marriage, and then you finish that marriage. As it says in our vows, "Till death do we part." Have you thought about what that means? When you say that, "Till death do we part," is it assuming that there is a conflict, and only one of us is going to get out of this alive? Will it be you, or will it be me? We'll find out 30 years from now, you know. Yeah, my wife and I have an agreement, and we have this signed in contract before the Lord, and that's this: I will go to heaven before she does. I don't know if you know this, men don't do well when their wives go first. They just don't. We just don't. So it's like, "Lord, thank you for your grace. I'm going to go first." Because you women just, you know, you're just like, "Nothing happened, you know. I mean, like, I got my life back, you know. The drama queen is gone. Now he's your problem, God." You know what I'm talking about? Whining, complaining, needing this, needing that. Anyway, you jump on a cruise and go around the world. I loved him, but I'm, you know, we had a good time. He's in a better place, and so am I. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Well, I better not talk like that. You all hold her accountable if you still know me, but you know her by then. Look at what Philippians 1:6 says. Let's read this out loud together. And so, I am sure that God, who began this good work in you, will carry it on until it is finished on the day of Christ Jesus. You know, God, as Jesus said, teleo, on the cross, not only is God a good starter, he's a good finisher. And the good work that God has started in you, he'll finish. Now listen, there are some things that you've started, and they need to come to a finish. Right? But the good things that God started in your life, it's not over until God says it's over. And it's not over until you've crossed that finish line. And I don't care if your loved ones and your friends and your fellow church members have to drag your dead carcass across that finish line. Somehow, some way, we're going to get you across that finish line, because he that's begun a good work in you will not give up, will not relent, will not let go until it is finished. Teleo. Praise God. Jesus cried that on the cross because he won the victor's crown. He won the belt. He is the undefeated, undisputed Savior of the world. Our Savior, Jesus. And the Bible says it this way, I love it, Colossians 2:15. And on that cross, Christ freed himself from the power of the spiritual rulers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them by leading them as captives in his victory procession. Paul is referring to a time whenever the Romans would conquer an enemy. The Romans would bring the generals and the king and the high-ranking people of that conquered people group, and they would humiliate them as they were bound in chains, and they would bring him through the city of Rome in a procession, a parade, a victory parade, and make a public spectacle of them. And Paul is saying, uh-huh, I got the picture, God. That's exactly what Jesus did to the devil, to sickness, to disease, to sin, to addiction, to bondage, to poverty, to all the enemies of God. He led them chained, bound, hand and foot through the glorious city and made a public spectacle of them. And what does that mean to you and me today? Well, look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always, everybody say always. Always. Say it again. Always. One more time. Always. What does God always do? He always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes the manifest savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. It's not over until you win. Yeah, but right now it seems like the world's getting the best of me. It's not over until you win. Yeah, but right now it seems like the devil's getting the best of me. It's not over until you win. Yeah, but if you only knew, Pastor, what my life looks like right now. Yeah, but it's not over until you win. All you are more than a conqueror, and you are an overcomer, and all these things that are coming against you right now, God's going to take all those bad things, and he's going to convert them, and he's going to transform them, and he's going to sanctify them, and they're going to become God's best in your life. All things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. It's not over until God says it's over, until you finish. If you're going to finish, you got to start. You see, what makes bad finishers are poor starters, because they never start. It's like Pastor Tommy Barnett preached this. Boy, we had a great Inspire conference this past week, and last Sunday night, he said, you got to get off the line of scrimmage. You got to make that first move. It's not that we have poor finishers, it's that we have poor starters. Get started. Get going. Start reading through the Bible. Start that prayer life. Get involved in that life group. We're going to have 50 new life groups that we're going to open up called Fight Club, because we believe in men, and we want to come alongside of men, and we're all men, and we all deal with the fault line of sin. It runs through all of us, and we need one another. We need to stand and pray and believe God with one another, because you know what? The world is dying. It's withering because men have lost their way. and they've lost their place. We got to get started. Number two, small wins accumulate into big wins. Start small and big. Don't try to start big because you won't make it. I mean, you can't climb Mount Everest until you first drive to Albuquerque and climb the Sandia Mountains, okay? You got to start here, and then you got to work your way up in the spiritual rankings. Are you with me, guys? You know what I'm talking about? You got to work your way up into the spiritual rankings. You don't step into the ring with a Darren Walters. He'll eat your lunch and breakfast and dinner and all the snacks in between. You know what I'm talking about? You work your way up. Listen, and the higher you go with God, and the higher you go in God, the bigger the demons you'll face. The bigger the demons. And then finally, finish. Finish well. Everything has a starting point. Everything has a finishing point. You know, a bunch of young people just finished high school, starting college, or, you know, vocational trade school, or what the next phase and season of life is, and you got to finish that. And then you go on to the next test. You go on to the next phase, the next season of your life, and you finish that, and you want to finish well and finish strong. And then you want to keep the faith. You want to keep the faith. So I looked up that word keep because I want to know, what does that word keep mean? What do you mean, Paul, with this word keep? It's the Greek word tereo. And it means to watch. It means to guard. It means to keep an eye on. You know, when our kids were small, I remember that we used to tereo our kids. We used to keep a watchful eye on them. Like, you know, if you're in the mall or, you know, you're at the fair or you're in some public place, it's like, where are they? Where are they? You know, you panic for a second. Oh, there they are. Because you keep a watchful eye on them. You're protecting them and you're guarding them. It's every man's responsibility in here. It's every man's responsibility in here. It is your duty, men, to tereo your family, to watch over, guard, and protect your wife, your future wife, your children, to be the man God's called you to be, to never be the one that lifts a finger to hurt a woman, to never be the one to lift a finger to hurt a child, that there is so much pain and so much oppression and so much heartache and so much heartbreak in our world today because men have lost their way and they're not taking their rightful place. Like Jesus, who never lifted a finger to hurt a woman. Like Jesus, who never lifted a finger to hurt a child. When he stretched out his hand to touch a child, it was to bless that child. All the oppression and heartache and pain that women and children feel in our world today, it's been dealt to them by the hands of men who have lost their way. We've got to keep the faith. When everything around you and everybody around you is losing their faith or misplacing their faith or trading their faith in or selling out on their faith, we've got to be men who fight. We got to be men who finish, and we got to be men who keep the faith. Paul said in Acts 14:22, making strong the souls of the disciples, saying to them that they were to, say it with me, keep the faith. Say it again, keep the faith. And that we have to go through troubles of all sorts to come into the kingdom of God. We have to go through what? Troubles. I wish some verses weren't in the Bible, you know. Aren't you glad I didn't write the Bible? Aren't you glad you didn't write the Bible? Aren't you glad your favorite preacher didn't write the Bible? Because we sure would have left out a lot out of the Bible. God's real. And the Bible's real. You want to be a champion? You want to stand in the winner's circle at the end of time, your time? You want to be that overcomer? You want to be that more than conqueror? You want to be that victor? You're going to go through some hardships to get there. You're going to have to agonize. You're going to face troubles. You know, the days of man upon the earth are few and full of trouble. You're like, I've heard that before. Yeah, I just read that going through the book of Job in my daily devotional reading through the Bible in a year. Job 14:1 says, man's days are few and full of trouble. It's interesting what Jesus said in John 14:1. That's Job 14:1. John 14:1, Jesus said,
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. God will see you through. Young people, you're struggling. You've got some bullies called self-hate. You've got some bullies in your life that are wanting to keep you from the prize. Don't give up. It's not over. God's just starting. And watch what the final page of your life, how God will finish it, and what it will say, and what it will proclaim. Jesus said it this way, and I close here. Revelation 3:11, Jesus said, let's read it out loud together. These are the words of Jesus. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. You see, you have a crown. Let's thank the Lord for that crown, amen. You have a crown. Look to your neighbor and say, you have a crown. Look at him and say, you're a champion. Go on, tell him that. You are a champion. You know what's good about this crown that I have and that you and I, that you have and I have? You know what's good about this crown? Jesus won it for us. How cool is that, right? Yeah? I've always wanted a championship ring. So our girls at TCS won back-to-back championships in TAPS 4A, amen, here in the state of Texas. Yeah. And I saw one of the coaches with that ring on. I said, man, look at that ring. I said, let me see. They took it off. And I put it on. Like I changed. I felt like I could make three-point shots, you know, anywhere on the court. I said, I'm going to get me one of those rings. So I talked my wife into an early birthday present. Pulled out that bad boy credit card, laid down $650, and I got myself a championship ring. And the other day somebody said, one of the guest speakers for Inspire, like, what kind of championship ring is that? I said, that's the 4A, the TAPS 4A girls back-to-back state championship ring. Are you one of the coaches? I said, no. But I'm the chairman of the school board. Does that count? You bet it counts. Yeah, right. We all want to be a winner at something. There's not too many things I want at in life. But I can sure enjoy somebody else's victory, can't I? And the crown that we have, the crown that you have, is the crown that Jesus won for us. We don't deserve it. We didn't fight for it. We didn't agonize for it. He died. He bled for that crown. And now he's saying, don't let anyone take that crown from you. Don't let the world, the flesh, the devil, don't let some cheap momentary thrill on the bargain table of the flesh take that crown from you. I'll leave you with these final words. Get serious. Get dressed. And get in the fight. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. Father, we come before you today and we just pour our hearts out to you and we say, Lord, we're in a fight. All of us have some fight that we're, some battle that we're in. I thank you, it really isn't our battle, it's your battle, Lord. I know there are some battles we have to fight for the salvation and the soul of our nation. We must not give up that fight. For our families to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, we must not give up that fight and be on our knees praying and believing. God, I'm thankful that there are some battles we don't have to fight. You fight them for us. Help us to know the difference, which battles to fight and which ones to simply say, God's my defender. And Lord, for those that are facing their own battle here today, I thank you that they're going to fight the good fight. They're going to finish. You're going to bring them across that finish line, God, and they're going to keep the faith. Heads bowed and eyes closed, we're here today, and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You can open up your heart. You can receive his love, grace, and forgiveness right where you're seated. Romans 10:9 says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Pray this prayer out loud with the rest of us. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Help me be the person you've called me to be, that
conqueror for Christ, that champion of the faith. Let my light shine so bright that others see you in this dark world I live in. Thank you that it's not in my strength, but in your strength that I overcome. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, happy Father's Day, dads. We love you. Have an awesome day.